there are certain people that we feel are just connected so intrinsically with respect to the Great Yorkshire Show, we couldn't possibly do a location report at the Great Yorkshire Show without actually touching base with them. One of them, of course, is the legend that is...
It's Jim Vigors from Asda. Good to see you.
Likewise, Jim. Good to connect with you again, obviously, in the Asda area here. It's a nice little kind of general positive landmark, really, I find, in the show here, because you always say meet at the Asda stand, it's all sorted through.
Yeah, definitely. This is called the meeting point, and as you can see, we've got a split pitch over the far side. We've got the food theatre, and that's all about food education, cooking a three-course meal in 10 minutes every 30 minutes. And then this year, as you can see, we've got a new section. We've got the children's section, so it's all about plant it, milk it and dig it. So all about driving sustainability.
It's getting even better and better, really. Absolutely. I know we were speaking to Sir Ken Morrison on the press day, etc. Another supermarket, they are available, etc. But clearly, you know, with respect to Asda, it's nice to see that, again, getting in touch with the local community. It's very much true to your word.
Yeah, definitely. Big support of the Great Yorkshire Show. Big support of British, as you know, British first always for us. We've got over 8,500 producers we purchase direct from. Yorkshire is our heartland, and today we've got a state competition showcasing some of Yorkshire's finest beef. You know, so absolutely, we're going to be here every year for sure.
You mentioned, obviously, the junior area here. Before we come on to Lou Bevan, I think Francesca is our young 15-year-old correspondent here on work placement. Francesca, any questions you'd like to put in?
What type of things do you cook in your food theatre?
That's a great question. We tend to cook up a three-course meal, which you can purchase in our local store. It's all local produce, which we use, so we'll do a nice little starter there. And the main dish is a sirloin steak, which is matured for 28 days. It's part of the extra special range. Maturation actually delivers the taste and the tenderness, followed by a nice sweet. Neil, the chef, will produce that within 10 to 15 minutes and just try and showcase the fact that food is fun and it's really convenient and it doesn't take a lot of time and anyone can do it if you're prepared to have a go. The guys have a recipe leaflet then to repeat purchase in store to give them the ideas to go back home and do it for themselves.
Lou?
Yeah, you mentioned that and the thing that I'm quite keen about, being an old Thomas Danby man from Brian Turner's age actually at the same time. We were taught about beef, we were taught about maturation, we were taught about hanging, we were taught about the breeds, and to give us the marbling, etc. Then the domestic science and that seemed to die at schools. So Mrs. Housewife, Mr. Whoever, this whole wording and terminology all got lost. Yeah. Now all of a sudden we're starting to talk about it again, brilliantly so, but I do feel that there's a whole generation out there, maybe over the last 20 years, that have never used this lingo that you and I know what we mean. Yeah. Okay, Jamie Oliver, one or two others, Brian Turner, they brought it back. They show you the sirloin steak with the classic marbling, and if you know what a piece of marble looks like, you know how you've got the various veining in it. Yeah. How are we going to get this back to people so that... I mean, I talked to the slaughterers. 3 days out of five now, they're killing British because it's brilliant to know that they want stuff out of Hereford Base, Angus Base or whatever. For me, we're an island called England, Great Britain. It's brilliant to put our stuff back on the market again.
Absolutely. And I think you'll see it as do we always put British first always. But I think what you're referring back to is the missing link over the last 20 years. We've probably lost the connection with food and it's how we educate and make food famous again. And actually showcase the fact that if you have got a marble piece of meat, it's actually really good. It's going to help tenderise the meat and it's going to promote taste and succulence whilst it's cooking. So what we're doing, we're looking at our online business. So we're communicating where the meat comes from, how to cook it and what's actually good about that particular product. We're also doing things with the food theatre. As you can see, it's here at the show, but that goes around our stores so we can try and engage with customers and younger consumers coming in. And we're also getting out to schools as well. So we can connect with school children in the playground and show them that meat is actually fun and try and drive sustainability and certainly food education. In addition to that, a big risk we're facing is not just about food education, it's the next generation of farmers. The average age of a farmer in the UK...
57.
Well, you're saying 57, that my producers are telling me 68.
Really?
So 57 or 68, the fact is, the siblings are not as keen to get into the industry as their fathers are. So we've got to do something together to actually drive the next generation of farmers into the industry. So we've actually launched a Cattleman's Academy. I think I mentioned that to you last year.
I think I sense a campaign coming on here which Southside will be supporting in full, Jim.
Well, that's great. We did launch it last year. We're Askham Bryan College, and we've got students out there now working on an apprenticeship on our behalf. So, you know, we're doing our bit to try and cover those two aspects, food education and certainly driving agricultural awareness.
Leslie, as a young mum, your thoughts on this? Because presumably you're always looking for best value produce and so on.
Well, absolutely. I was very interested in what you were saying about education for the youngsters, because I think to get them into the idea of using fresh, good quality produce and having a decent meal, as opposed to just the sort of the fast food, the junk food, the pizzas, the burgers and so on, I think that's very, very important.
Oh, I totally agree. And it all starts in the home. You know, it's really important that we use some of the traditional cuts. Take a brisket. For God's sake, don't put it in the oven and roast it. But it is a cheaper cut. But if you put a brisket in a pot early morning before you take the kids to school, fill it full of water with vegetables and a little bit of stock, a stock cube in top of that, put the pan on and leave it slow cooking all day. It's took 5 minutes to prepare. And when the kids come home, I assure you they're going to say, "Mum, Dad, this is a fantastic meal." As my kids say, it's soft meat, it melts in the mouth, it's fantastic, but it's full of flavour and all the nutrients are in there. So we've got to make food fun again and make it really convenient. And by doing that early morning and using some of the traditional cuts in the way my mum used to make, I think we can face into that.
I did something last year, you either laugh or you won't. If you know what brisket tastes like, taste of its own. Go to the other end of the scale, beef Wellington, made with a fillet steak.
Lovely.
I didn't. I cooked the brisket for 4 hours.
Yeah.
I then made a beef Wellington using a complete brisket.
Did you really?
People assured me it was far better and they would have paid the same money for it as they would if I'd have used a fillet. I did a Wellington, but I did it with a pre-cooked brisket. The taste was 5 times better than any beef Wellington I've ever had.
Well, that's what you call food innovation, and you should share that wherever possible, because, you know, again, it's just being quite quirky. Why not? If you've cooked that, you've slow roasted, you broke all that tension down, you've got all the flavour in that particular mussel, you slice it to an inch thick, and then you'll wrap that in pastry, and you can put a pâté in there, you can stuff it with a mushroom sauce. My God, it's going to be so tasty. But it's a cheaper version of the beef Wellington using fillet steak. So, you know,
took me 4 hours to do it. So, yeah, if you want to write in the time. But I was doing nothing else.
Absolutely.
I just got up early, cooked it off, and did it as the whole.
Fantastic.
And it resembled a Wellington, what people would know as a Wellington. Yeah. But when it was served up, they were saying, just what is it? Because it melts in the mouth.
Absolutely. So what you're saying is food is fun. And you can use particular cuts that suits your particular pocket.
If you know how to do it and you've got this bit of knowledge. But the problem is now that, let's go and ask your mother, but trouble is your mother doesn't know.
And she may not be around forever, your mother.
That's right. So, but, you know, does mother know? Mother learned off
Absolutely.
Grandmother. We said, oh, this domestic science. Things went wrong in education a few years ago, and it's hard now because we're trying to get it back on track.
Yeah.
Where it used to be.
A whole new debate is going to be opening up. A quick mention for this charming lady who's also sitting with you this morning, obviously keeping an eye out your whole things. Your bodyguard, I presume, don't you?
Laura is literally my bodyguard. No, Laura Newbold's been working with us now for 2.5 years. Laura's actually purchasing beef on Asda's behalf. Previous to that, worked with Summerfield, purchasing pork, so in the meat industry for the last 5 years, but an up-and-coming star.
I identify that. So, Laura, from your own point of view, you just listened to an interesting debate there about sort of food and cooking and all the rest of the bits and pieces. Is that something which brings to mind when you're looking for what cuts to purchase and so on?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we're always about British first, always. But, yeah, we've got a big piece to do with schools, and as I say, we're engaging with kids just to make food a little bit more fun and let kids know that and help mums and everything, you know, purchase briskets, how to cook them, you know, making beef affordable and viable for everybody.
And in terms of, obviously, farmers will be listening to this and be thinking, oh, well, fine, why don't they go to our Lincoln Red Cattle or various other sort of things, etc. What sort of things do you look for? You're thinking, yes, okay, we want to make a deal with this, we'll purchase that particular stock.
Me personally, you know, I know about beef, so I would always buy our extra special ribeyes. Absolutely fantastic, beautiful, big, thick cut of beef.
It's all right, you can have a shameless plug. It's okay, we're happy to mention Asda. It's all right.
Beautiful, 28-day matured, nice bit of fat in the middle, and it delivers perfectly every time. So that'd be my preference, yeah, definitely.
Brilliant. Jim, as ever, I sense that the energy is as high as ever with respect to Asda.
Yeah,
say, pledging your commitments to local farmers and communities, as the strapline goes from that sort of point of view.
Absolutely.
And we say this every year, we really should speak during the course of the year, because, I mean, I love these chats that we have on the Great Yorkshire Show Days, etc., but we really need to speak, I think, probably during the year as well.
Yeah, more regular. You've got an open door. If ever you want to pop up to Asda House in Leeds, that's not a problem, but I'm getting out and about to the local suppliers, so you know, let's make a date and have a catch-up probably in 6 months' time. We can share with you some of the things we're doing to drive the industry on.
Indeed, obviously tease ahead to the 2012 Olympic Great Yorkshire Show.
Oh, absolutely. What a great year. We've got the Olympics, we've got the Jubilee, and we've got the Euros. So it's going to take a lot of planning for, but I'm looking forward to it. A great period in time for us to sell some great British product.
Now, Lou and Leslie are currently actually looking at an exhibit from National Vintage Tractor and Engine Club. Fran, we've had a little wander around the show. We've looked at pigs, we've looked at sheep, we've looked at fleeces, we've looked at, obviously, cattle, etc. We had a stop off at Asda. How are you finding the show so far?
I love it. I think it's great. And I'm coming back next year.
We are obviously already booking press passes and things as we speak, really, from that point of view. So I think we need to obviously find out what exactly this thing is that Leslie's obviously asked about. It's actually happening. See, we'll do a little test, etc. So it's obviously a deep routine here. What have we got here, Lou?
A very ancient tool called a reaper and binder, because you used to reap the corn and bind it with string into a sheaf. You've heard of the wheat sheaf. I've just been explaining now that we had a man sitting here, we had a man on the tractor, so then we've turned it all into one machine, so we combined the harvesting into the machine we call the combine harvester.
So you're literally saying they've got a brand new combine harvester and they'll give us the key?
Correct. The Wurzel's 69.
I think it was 70s actually, Lou. I think you'll find it 73, 74 when the Wurzel's actually came onto the interpretation of brand new key with Melanie. But anyway, Leslie.
I'm just wondering, the seat here on the side from the guy who's actually tying the
wheat.
The wheat
the
up, yes.
Together, yes.
It looks a little bit risky because, I mean, you've got these blades just very much in close proximity to him.
Health and safety did not exist in this era.
Absolutely.
Pre-health and safety.
But there must have been some accidents.
Arms lost.
A few decapitated
lost,
heads.
Decapitated. Hundreds and hundreds of people a year in the agricultural industry were killed and maimed because this now is Noah's Ark, but at the times this was Formula One.
Now, back when we were doing the Lincolnshire show, obviously earlier this year, we made friends with the fabulous Lincolnshire Greyhound Trust, and now we're lucky enough to be speaking to
Karen Fraser from North Yorkshire Retired Greyhound Trust.
So it keeps the country going from that point of view. Now, you've got these wonderful beasts with greyhounds or pets on them, adopt a friend. They've obviously all been racing animals, etc., but now they need perhaps a little bit of rest, really.
Yes, we try and find homes for greyhounds once they've finished racing, and these are our own pet dogs that we've brought along with us.
Now, I know that Leslie and Francesco have already been captured by the magic of the greyhound, but it's fair to say, as long as they're given regular exercise, they don't exhaust you, do they?
No, 2 20-minute walks a day is standard, plus a couple of toilet breaks, obviously. They will walk for maybe 20 minutes, and then they'll go back to the bed and sleep for 3 or 4 hours.
Like the athletes they were trained to be, obviously, from that point of view. Lou?
Yeah, I mean, I've had A1 racing dogs in the time, and my good lady wife is the vet down at Stainforth Dog Track, so obviously she sees quite a bit down there of the rehoming. And you just, I mean, you've said it quite lightly, but I know that an A1 dog wins his races off his bed, all these things that they need hours and hours and hours of walking, it just ain't right. To be quite honest, that good dog we had, he got 10 minutes a day walking, that was all. He was a natural athlete. He didn't need it. All this hours of road work won't turn an average dog into an open race dog. So, you know, get this out of people's heads that you don't need to walk the legs off them.
Leonard at the back, who's been lying down, he's got someone stroking him at the moment. He was an A1 race dog, good racer in his day, and now he's spending his life promoting greyhounds as pets. I've had him since March. So
fantastic. So how do people get in touch with the good self if they're sort of thinking about this? They're not at the show today, they're listening to this online. Is there a web address that people can reach you at?
If you go onto retiredgreyhounds.co.uk, the main head office website, there's a link to all the branches there. We're from the North Yorkshire branch.
And how's the show actually been for yourself? Because obviously this is day two of the 2011 Great Yorkshire Show. How's it been?
Very busy. Very busy. We were here from 7-8 o'clock yesterday morning till about 6:30 at night, and we've got a very busy day again today.
And although obviously you're North Yorkshire, I detect a Scottish brogue there. Are you from Scotland originally?
Yes, from here, southwest Scotland, but been down in North Yorkshire for 20 odd years.
It's fantastic to just share some thoughts with you, so I'm sure we'll get some photographs of these wonderful beasts. Just the name of this chap who's got the adopt a friend on?
This is Jumbo, who actually came from Lincolnshire Greyhound Trust. They're the branch that helped, that got me started in homing. So
all connects together, that's the important thing. Fantastic stuff.